Before I begin this morning, I just want to add thank you, Michelle and Linda, for that gift of music, and for Linda being here as our guest organist this summer. We're delighted. I want to give you an update. I mentioned a few Sundays ago we had three search committees looking for staff members, one for an organist and an associate director of music, another for a children's director, and another for a preschool director. We are processing just now and praying that we will complete soon the preschool director and the organist and associate director for music. They are in process, and so keep praying. And if all goes well, we hope the first Sunday of September we will have our new organist with us. And so keep praying. The sermon this morning is entitled Sing Your Hearts Out. There are two scripture readings. The first is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 3. The first reading in 1 Samuel 16 is the story where David plays his lyre for Saul to help soothe Saul, who is stressed. And the lyre, by the way, is a musical instrument. It is in a U shape with a bar across the top and then strings, of course. It is a classical-looking Greek harp, and that would have been played with the fingers. And so listen as I read in 1 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 14 from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servants said to him, "See now, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servants who attend you to look for someone who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me someone who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a warrior, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, and Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. And then from the letter to the Colossians, in chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, I want to read to you this morning this passage from the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a paraphrase written by Eugene Peterson, a Presbyterian pastor. And it is very different. I encourage you to read it in your own Bibles this afternoon, Colossians 3, 15 to 17. It reads this way: "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way." Let us pray in silence as we come now to the message. In Christ's name, amen. Well, during the month of June, you may remember, for those of you who are here, You will remember this, I hope, and those not, it will be a refresher. But I shared with you during the month of June just some of the few wondrous gifts we receive from gathering together in this hour of worship. God gives us through worship many gifts that he wants us to receive. Many of you have experienced this as I have firsthand. For example, God wants to give us in this hour the gift of a quieted soul. God wants to give us encouraged hearts. And God wants to give us especially times when we are inspired and deeply moved by the reading of the Word and the singing of faith and praying together. God wants to give all of this to us and more. And then we also explored during the month of July some of the things we do in worship regularly that are also beneficial in our devotional lives. We talked about how God wants to give us such things as knowledge and wisdom. God wants to give us guidance for living, and these are accomplished especially when we read the Bible regularly and when we pray. And we covered both of those topics, the Bible and prayer. And this morning, as we prepare to come to the table of our Lord, we want to celebrate the music that we sing, and give God praise with, especially as we come to the supper and celebrate the gift of God's love and the salvation that comes to us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate that this day, God's gift of music that we love. And first of all, I want to say to you this morning that I have always believed, perhaps you have believed this as well, that music is truly God's gift to us as human beings. But even more, it can be good medicine. It can be good medicine when our spirits are low. Have you ever had that to happen? A good piece of music when your spirit is low that you're just drawn to. It gives you a sense of peace during times of stress. You'll remember it was the Englishman William Congreve. He was born in the 1600s, and he is known for that great quote, "Music hath charms to calm the savage beast." It can. In our reading from 1 Samuel this morning, we discover this was certainly the case for King Saul. Saul was a powerful king, but he was a king who was also deeply troubled. He was full of jealousy and full of fear. And he was prone, we can read in 1 Samuel, that he had sudden fits of temper, so much so that apparently these anxieties would build up in him and they would come to him as if there was an evil spirit within him. We're told that in the reading, an evil spirit. It seemed that way. Some of his court, some of the king's courtsmen, they suggested that he seek a skillful musician to play for him so that when the evil spirit was upon him, he would feel better. And after a search, they found David, son of Jesse, a shepherd boy who auditioned for the king. And almost immediately, King Saul loved David. And he made him his armor bearer, of all things, to keep him close to him. And whenever the evil spirit would overtake King Saul, he would send for David, and David would play music for the king, and the king would feel better. Don't you feel better when Linda plays for you or when Michelle sings? I certainly do. When that happens, whatever's going on in the world, it is well with my soul. I can feel the Spirit of God in the music that we sing here. Well, perhaps the songs that soothed Saul were some of the psalms that David wrote in the Bible. The Psalms are the songbook of the Bible. It's the central book in the Bible, if you will. And the same calming, the same victorious songs are those perhaps that relieve King Saul's distress. And they can ours as well. And so not only is music God's gracious gift to us, but secondly, let's also give thanks to God for the music that gives us a more peaceful spirit in times of stress. That's a gift of God we need just now, isn't it? A pandemic that is often politicized by leaders. So much violence that has quadrupled in the last 6 months on airlines, for example. More violence in the last 6 months than in the last 4 years. And many times, 70% of it, it has been said, is because of the mandate of wearing masks. And we're smart people. Masks are optional, but it is helpful to do. We know that. We're intelligent folks. But music can calm us. It can soothe us. I had a dentist once when I was younger in another town, and he would give me earphones to listen to music while he scraped and cleaned and drilled on my teeth. And there are still certain songs from that period of time I can't bear to listen to. But you could listen to the Beatles. You could listen to Broadway hits. It was one of my favorites. You could listen to music themes. But I would be listening, and finally the dentist would interrupt my listening, and he would say over and over, "Open wider, open wider." I heard this week about the USA Olympic bronze medalist, the skateboarder. Did you hear about that? Skateboarding for the first time was in the Olympics. I would have thought it would have been there many years ago. My son, when he was about 7 or 8, he began riding a skateboard, and we began our trips to the emergency room for broken bones. And that was a long time ago. I'm surprised it finally made it in the Olympics. Anyway, this Jagger Eaton, that's his name, Jagger Eaton, Olympic bronze medalist in street skateboarding. It's very specific. But he shared his Spotify music list to the media this week, and it was all the rage. And so I decided to listen to it. I want to say to you, I have never heard such music in all my life. I take that back. I may have heard one or two. It's called rap music. Rap music. I mentioned that to my son. He said, "Dad, you may need to get out more and listen to more music." I'm certainly not going back to that dentist. But here's something that you've heard before. It was fashionable many years ago, and maybe it still is, for women in their pregnancy to listen to classical music. And the research discovered that if you listen to Mozart, it not only calmed the mother, but it calmed the unborn child. As a matter of fact, the study suggests that it raised the IQ of the unborn child. And now I know. Now I know why my IQ isn't as high as it perhaps could be. I talked to my mother yesterday, and we went over this. My mother liked Tom Jones, Glenn Campbell, Elvis Presley, and Engelbert Humperdinck. I did say to her, and I will say to her this morning, because I know she's listening in Tennessee, Mother, you had a great sense of music, and you still have a great taste of music. And I remember you singing to me and your other two sons. When we would cut our teeth, when we would bruise our knees as little boys, she would sing to us. She would sing to us. She would sing whenever we need it, and the music was healing. Well, we need not be King Saul to know that some music relieves strain, some music relieves stress, and there is some music that relieves a troubled mind. But thirdly, let's also honor healthful music that affirms the triumph of the human spirit and that which is spiritual. That which is spiritual music, it has the tendency to lift us up, and anything, any kind of music that does not lift us up is not worshipful music. I listened this past week to a traditional opening voluntary by an organist on the tune Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I want to say to you, I was lifted up to the one who is the great other, who created the heavens and the earth. I could sense God's presence in listening to him play that song. It was so moving. And when we hear that in the music of a hymn or an anthem or an orchestra or the rhythm of a band or a group singing a cappella, when the music points itself to the one, then we hear ourselves saying, "Praise be to God for that music." And this is because music, as it is in the arts, like in plays and drama, other kinds of music, they express what words often cannot. We can offer praise like the hymn, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." What a wonderful hymn. Or like today when we sang that opening hymn, "When in our music God is glorified." What a wonderful tune. Today our contemporary service ended with the great hymn of faith, "How Great Thou Art." I wish you could have heard them sing it. They sang it beautifully. And I have to say to you as a pastor, I know that on any given Sunday, when you come here, your emotions are wide-ranging. We come with different emotions every Sunday. Some Sundays we come with anxiety and dread. Sometimes we come with sorrow. Sometimes there is self-pity and depression. Sometimes there is pride. Sometimes we come happy as if on a mountaintop. And sometimes we come even when we feel the emotion of pain or physical pain. And then we gather here. We gather in this hour of worship and we stand to sing to God in joy and trust. And we are often, I have found when we do that, lifted beyond ourselves heavenward. You may have felt that even today. We express that which we have felt in coming here, and it is good to express it and strengthen it. William James, the psychoanalyst and writer, he has said to express an emotion not only lets it out, but it strengthens it. And that's what happens when we sing praises to God. It builds our trust in God. And so we come to worship to affirm our Lord, and when we do that, that's an affirmation. It's an affirmation with every stanza of a hymn or song we sing. When we sing that song, every stanza becomes a yes to life, a yes to joy, and a yes to trust in God in the week ahead. In a deep sense, it is to express that all will be made well and all is well with my soul. It is like in the hymn, "This is my Father's world." It has that beautiful line, "Although the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet." Amen. That builds my faith. And finally, music provides us with healing. Healing. And it does so because it is music, the gift that God gives us, that shares with us the miracle of God's love. A love that conquers loneliness, a love that conquers sorrow, and a love that conquers even death. You remember that parable, don't you, about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one got away, one got lost? What did that shepherd do? You remember? He went out and left the 99 and went out to look for the one. That passage has often bothered people. Let me tell you, it's not a manual for shepherding. It is a parable about the great love that God, the great shepherd, has for anyone who is lost or in distress. And even at death, we celebrate that shepherd who is waiting on the other side of the river to pick up that kid, to pick up that one sheep, to put it over his shoulder, and who carries it home. It's a beautiful story. It can be sung as well. A love that conquers even death. Love is the most powerful force in the world, and I have heard it in music all of my life, that miracle of love. And if you wanted to underline that truth, Sunday after Sunday in worship, how on earth would you do it but to sing about it? The gift of God's music to us reminds us of the miracle of God's love, even as we come to the table. And each of you this morning will go away this week, and I pray you will take a song from the Lord in your heart, and that you will sing it in praise to God for Him. And I pray you will share it. You will share it with someone in need. And when you do that, share it. And if you can sing, sing your hearts out. Amen.